The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I don't think anybody has ever defined what constitutes a full hoot. You have to know what a full hoot is before you can be a hoot and a half. Some days I want to be a hoot and three quarters. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I thank you so very much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I am in Ann Arbor right now. The reason I am in Ann Arbor, sitting here in the Al Cresta studio desk, is because I was heading today for Ludington, Michigan. It's up on the lake there, Lake Michigan. Oh, I'd say about 3 hours into my journey, I got a call. Schools are closed, ice storm, snow. Oh, big deal. If you guys were Bismarck, you'd be swimming. Now, of course, if you were Dallas and it was 47 degrees with a wind chill of 45, you would probably cancel. But anyway, we'll reschedule the fine folks in Ludington. So I get to be here in Ann Arbor. Same number, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm a psychologist. I deal in the world of people. Oh, their motives, their emotions, their conduct, their thinking. All of the stuff of the human condition, interactions with other people, all of that. Pretty much is fodder for a program here. And mutter, too. Fodder and mutter. Remember that old Abbott and Costello routine? A horse is a good mutter. You want to bet on a horse when it's raining on the track because he's a good mutter. But he has to eat his fodder to be a good mutter. Costello and Bud Abbott did a lot of stuff like that. All right, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto this show. I had to work hard to get onto this show. All you have to do is dial 10 digits. Parents will come into my office. Let's say the parent is the parent of a teen. And the teen, as the parent would describe it, would be called spoiled, entitled, easily frustrated. Sometimes they say things like, you know, we have given in to him. We have given him his way 98% of the time while he was growing up. Our mistake, but nevertheless, that's what we did. You would think that he would be able to better accept the 2% that he doesn't get his way. If you get your way 98% of the time, you should be pretty content. You're only being frustrated, if you want to call it that, 1/50th of the time. It is the exact opposite. The closer you get to getting your way 100% of the time, the less you are able to deal with those very few times you don't get your way. If you got your way as a kid 50% of the time, you'd be much, much, much better at handling the 50% you don't get. Why? You're used to it. It is life. It is the way it is. It is not meant to go your way 98% of the time. Most of human history, life did not go our way 90% of the time, 98% of the time. Extrapolating from this narrow scenario, let's look at the culture at large. It is true that by and large, the American culture is the wealthiest, the most materially comfortable, the most entertained, in some respects, the healthiest, because medicine makes it that way, not necessarily our lifestyle anymore. The world has ever known by far. So, when people are used to having things go a certain way, how well can they deal with when things don't go their way? You're behind someone in line at a fast food place. The sandwich comes out. They take it. They go to their table. And a minute or so, they're back, putting the sandwich down rather aggressively, saying, "I did not order pickle on this hamburger." You're thinking, why would they be so incensed about this? Well, I think part of it, now granted, there's all different personalities, but I do believe part of it is related to the old 98% of the time. Things are supposed to go the way I want them to go, and when they don't, I get prickly, I get agitated, I get upset. It is just not working the way I want it to work. Now, maybe it's because I'm getting older. This is the oldest I've ever been. By the end of the show, I'll be even older. Maybe it's because I'm losing hormones. But I'm finding that I've got to get better at accepting and rolling with when it just doesn't go the way I want. Today, I had my schedule all set up. I knew exactly what I was going to do. Going to head up to Ludington, give a couple talks to those nice folks, head back here, get here in the evening, get up tomorrow, do the show here. All right, so on the way there, it starts raining. And man, it's raining hard. Then, when I got to Michigan, was ice. Makes you grateful for rain. And then the folks from Ludington called me and told me, "Look, we're so sorry, we have to cancel." Now, I'm not going to charge anybody for canceling. For any reason. That's one thing I do with my speaking. No way. I don't require a deposit. Some of the groups that book me do, but I don't. And if it happens, it happens. Now, how upset did I get over canceling all that? I'd say zero. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's not going to go my way in so many ways. And I think that is a big explanation why people can be so prickly and upset. Extrapolate that to ourselves. Don't do that. Recognize that what goes your way is God's gift and a bonus. It isn't supposed to go your way. You're not supposed to get what you take for granted. What you take for granted is a gift. It's given to you. So, watch out for that old 98% of the time getting what you want and the other two really gets to you. You don't want to be like that teenager whose parents come into my office saying, "This is not a pleasant person." 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program, and we can lock heads.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, in memory of Ted Pastushka, on the anniversary of his birthday in 1932. Ted is now with his Lord, but he is remembered with love and joy by his wife Irene, their five daughters, 17 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. He prayed and promoted the rosary and was a fantastic guy. The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
What is idolatry? Idolatry is the worship of false gods. Paragraph 2112 in the Catholic Catechism tells us that Scripture constantly recalls the rejection of idols, such as silver and gold fashioned by men's hands. Such empty idols make those who worship them as empty and dead and lifeless as the idols they create. The one true God, on the other hand, is the living God, who gives life and who intervenes in history. Paragraph 2113 warns that man commits idolatry whenever he reveres or worships a creature in place of the Creator, whether it be power, pleasure, ancestors, the state, or money. Jesus Christ warned us that we could not serve both God and mammon. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I've lived much of my life getting everything I want in excessive amounts. Yeah, that Andrew Krucek producer man is pretty slick. I saw something last night in a trivia game that I was playing with friends and my wife. And they asked, what is it? What's it called? When you can use computer-generated imagery and photoshopping, et cetera, to create something that is false. It's against the law to do this. It's called deep fake. I think that's what Andrew does. It's an audio deep fake. You know, I've spent most of my life getting everything I want. See, he took that, he pigeonholed that, he cherry-picked it, right out of something I said. He's good at it. I can't do this similar thing to him. When I was a young shrinkling, I consulted to a number of Head Start programs, different counties, Wayne County, Stark County, Columbiana County, in Ohio. One of my referrals was what the teachers didn't label it this, but somebody with a reasonable amount of knowledge would have called it selective mutism. And in the extreme, we'd have a little 3 or 4 year old who would say absolutely nothing in class. Zero. The kids knew that this little kid wouldn't say anything, and after about a month or two, the kids would speak for her. Usually it was a girl. Would speak for her. Oh, no, no, that's Sarah. She doesn't say anything. She likes cookies, though. You can give her a cookie. The teachers would wonder, what the heck is going on? Because if they talk with the parent would generally say, oh, no, man, she's a jabbermouth at home. She just talks like crazy. Well, that was a good sign. But the question still remained, what's happening with this kid? What's going on? And so Cindy from North Dakota, who I happen to know is a speech pathologist, and speech pathologists see a lot of this kind of stuff, she says, what is going on with this selective mutism stuff? Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I wasn't going to talk to you. I was basically going to just shut up, and then I would be selectively mute for you, and then I'd go to the other callers and talk to them. I'd pick. You get a lot of this stuff?
I really don't. A question came my way last week, and I thought I'd give you a call, see what your thoughts were.
One of the things that would happen, Cindy, is when I would test the kids, a percentage of them were surprisingly developmentally delayed. What we thought was mutism was a lack of comprehension. They didn't get what you were saying. And what was then happening was they would shut down. They would stare at you. They didn't get this. When we adopted our twins at age 4, there were certain delays. Now, they've turned out to be transitory, but at the time, there were delays. So often when we spoke to the kids, they just stared at us. Like, what are you saying? Okay, it was as though I'm not going to speak, but part of it was, I don't understand what you're saying. Now, what about the kids who jabber at home and don't, say, for example, in a school setting? Part of it is related to a very shy temperament that is only comfortable at home. So anywhere out in a group, and obviously their most common group is at a school setting, they shut down. Mm-hmm. I don't say anything. I'm not going to say anything. Now people say, well, that's a psychological problem. I wouldn't go so far to call it that all the time. I think it is a style that the kid has learned or prefers in the sense of, well, it is kind of threatening to open your mouth. I really get nervous about opening my mouth. I get anxious. What I did with the teachers, Cindy, is I did this.
Mm-hmm.
I told them, okay, here's what you do. You do not try to persuade this little one to talk. You do not ask 9 times. You ask once. You say, would you like to be the leader of the line today? And you wait a few seconds. And you say, oh, well, if you would have said yes, we could have been leader of the line. But since you didn't say anything, I'll try somebody else. So what they did is they offered these privileges and these rewards. And all the kid had to do initially is just say one word. Now, that worked. Pretty soon, after about a month, they got a little tired of not getting to pass out napkins. Would you like to pass out the napkins today, Jenny? Would you like to do that? You just tell me yes, I would, and I'll let you pass them out. Oh, okay. Well, I guess you don't want to because you didn't say anything. And then they just quietly go on to the next person. Now, that didn't make them a jabbermouth, but it did usually get them to say some things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a very situation-specific thing. And it is typically with kids who are shy. And if the parents say, well, no, they're not shy, they're very comfortable. I said, where? Well, at home. Well, yes. Not too many people are shy at home.
Okay.
There you go. That was just some of my experience. All right, dear?
All right.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure, sure. Jim was from Pensacola, Florida. He was there a week ago, and he's there now. The difference between a week ago and now is that he was on the program at the end of the line then, and he's on the program at the beginning of the line now. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Thank you so much. You know, it occurs to me over and over that the two main commandments of our faith center around the word love. I believe I have heard Dr. David Anders refer to the fact that the meaning of that word in the Bible is different than our culture. Could you comment?
Well, in the Bible there are, as I understand it, essentially 3 words used to describe love. The Greek language is a lot more intricate than our own language. There is love as eros, which means a physical love. There is love as philia, which means a brotherly love. And then there is love as in agape or agape, which is a very deep spiritual love. Interestingly enough, I know this is a little digression, but I want to use it to show off. Do you remember when our Lord, you weren't there, but do you remember reading when our Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Remember, this was after Peter had denied him. Our Lord had risen, and so our Lord said to Peter, do you love me? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And what did Peter say? Yes. Lord, you know I love you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then he asked him again, didn't he? Do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now Peter's thinking, why? Well, come on, man. Why don't you believe me? Then he asked him a third time. Now, many people think, well, like he was, you know, Peter denied him three times, so our Lord was three times saying, do you love me? Well, interestingly enough, in the Greek, our Lord said, now I got to get this right because it's been a while since I've read about this. Do you love me? And he used the word agape. Do you love me with a deep, deep spiritual love? And I believe, I hope I'm getting this right, Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Philia, the brotherly love. The Lord says, do you love me? Agape love. Peter, yes, Lord, you know I, philia, brotherly love. And then our Lord said, I think, do you, philia, love me? And then Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I do. So it's an interesting little expression, isn't it? But
yes.
The Bible sense of love is a very deep, self-giving, spiritual, you are ahead of me kind of love. In psychological love, which was one of your questions here, what's the difference? Well, I think psychologists emphasize a lot of self-love. They really do. You know, you've heard it, haven't you, Jim? Well, you can't love others if you don't love yourself. You've heard that cliche. It's nonsense.
Yes, I've heard that.
It's nonsense. Okay? They're not related. Now, obviously, it helps if you understand that God loves you, so therefore you can love yourself because the source of your self-love is God love. But psychological love tends to be a little more in the service of the self. You know, if I love my wife, part of it is I love her because of what she can do for me. How she treats me, how she sacrifices for me. So in that sense, yeah, you know, that's a good love. It's a good love. It's psychological love. But the Christian love is really outward. It doesn't depend upon what you return to me. Now, the problem with that, of course, is those are nice words. Those are fancy words. And we could talk about that all day long. But to work toward that kind of love, man, you got to have God behind you. And you ain't gonna master it when you're on this earth, that's for sure. I hope that's just a few thoughts for you there, Jim.
It's beautiful, Dr. Ray.
Hey, you spurred me to philosophize. I don't know if I made any sense or not, but I gave it a shot. Thanks, buddy. Okay, what else we got? See, I got enough time? Yeah, I'm gonna be shut off by the break here, but let me see what I can do. Matthew from North Carolina. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, it's Matthew. How are you doing?
Okay, sir. How are you doing?
I got a little bit of a problem. So my son has this disease. I don't know. It's called Hirschsprung's disease. And it's just really tough on him, you know, to see him cry because you know he's a little bit in pain. And to see my wife, you know, not feeling up to it and kind of depressed and all that, and I'm feeling anxious and angry. How do you, as a family, not just by yourself, but as a family, how do you offer it up to God? Is there any, like, tips or tricks you would say to offer it up, or what is your suggestion?
How old is your son, Matthew? You there, Matthew?
Yeah, hey.
How old is your son?
He's like 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. Is this a chronic illness that is life-threatening?
It is not. He's going to have surgery to fix it in about 6 months.
You know, Matthew, you stay right there. This is pretty potent call, so you just stick around. 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program The Doctor Is In, good Lord permitting. I'll be back after this break.
Boy. abortion,
pornography,
embryonic stem cell research,
corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Well, the next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo presents a pair of men's conference talks, meeting him for the first time and all over again, and a fireside chat with the Lord. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Greg Rendy, the only host in all of Catholic radio and TV. Now, take time off your purgatory, because I can be so irritating to listen to. And for those of you who do send me email where I did something wrong in your eyes, said something wrong, didn't use the right word, didn't answer it correctly, realize that because of your agitation, you probably get extra days off your purgatory. And the fact that you sent me something telling me how wrong I was, I'd probably take a few more days off. Of course, I can take a few more days off by being sweet about it and just simply saying, oh, I'm sorry. I understand. I am talking to Matthew from North Carolina. He's got a little infant son, 6 weeks old. Matthew, what did you say the name of that disorder was?
Hirsch Problem's disease.
What's it do?
So his lower colon around the rectal area, there's two sets of nerve ganglions, and the one that expands the nerves is missing. So it's always contracted.
Well, there is one reason. I know you asked how do you offer it up, but I think one way to offer it up is through gratitude. Now, what would that gratitude be, Matthew, in your opinion?
I guess since we have to change his ostomy bag, just be grateful that we have him, okay. I would say.
Okay, in a very overall sense, that's true. Think of anything else?
Just like the last guy was talking about love, and you were talking about love, just simply, like, love him.
Okay.
Just simply love him.
I got another one for you.
Okay.
Do you realize pretty much in all of human history, all the time that we have been on this earth, your little son would have had life-threatening problems that could not be fixed?
Huh.
He would have been one of the approximately 50% of children who, in most of human history, passed away before age 5.
Oh, wow.
So because you live now when you do, even with what he's experiencing, he can be fixed.
Wow.
So for me, I'd look up to God and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, that I live in a time that this little boy will be relieved of his pain and will go on to live a normal life.
Oh, my goodness.
See, you don't have to offer it up necessarily. My son was born with a cleft lip and palate, very severe. He went through about 5 surgeries. For much of human history, someone born with a cleft lip and palate was a village outcast. They couldn't speak. They had a hard time eating and breathing. They were viewed as somebody that you had to tuck away or get rid of. And as a matter of fact, prior to the advent of modern surgery for cleft lip and palates, it was the number one birth defect that led to abortion. So my son is now 31. He went through several surgeries at the hands of a very competent plastic surgeon. He is well. He is in every way speaking, thinking, talking, acting quite beautifully. That would not have been possible 100 years ago. So I am ever so grateful for that. There you go, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you. Interestingly enough, you know, did I answer Matthew's question? I don't know, because he said, how do you offer it up? If you reframe it into gratitude, do you need to offer it up? Offering something up, of course, implies that it's a suffering. It's something that is hurting another person, yourself. And that still is the case with Matthew's little baby boy. For now. But in his gratitude and his wife's gratitude, there's less to offer up. I hope I'm not messing up the thinking here. But it would seem that with that kind of gratitude for that little baby boy, not only his life, but the ability to fix him, would make it a little less imperative that you have to offer it up. Oh, yeah, I got time. Let's go to... Oh, boy, okay, we're dealing with some heavy stuff today. This anonymous call from Texas. Question on dealing with the grandson. Hi, Anonymous, how are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome, dear. You don't sound old enough to be a grandmother.
Aw, that's sweet.
I know. I'm really practicing being sweet. You know what I mean? If I'm sweet for the whole show, I get a headache. But you can do it for like individual callers for a little, like a minute. So you got your dose. That's it. Everything coming now is not going to be sweet.
Okay.
All right. Yes, dear. How can we help you? Ooh, that was sweet again. Ah, I'm sorry. Just instinct.
8-year-old grandson overheard mom and grandpa talking about a potentially deadly disease that she is having to deal with. Since that time, he has been unable to function at school, having severe panic attacks, anxiety attacks, I don't know what you call them, when he's not with mom. They've pulled him out of school. His parents are divorced. Pulled him out of school. A grandmother is homeschooling him now. They have been to a child psychologist who tells them that they should not mention mom at all when dad and stepmom has him. If he still starts a panic attack or anxiety attack or whatever it is, then they need to try to shift his focus onto a book or a video or a game. And if that doesn't work, they need to take him to mom. So that means he needs to stay within a 10 to 12 mile radius of mom at all times. No vacations, no going outside that perimeter, just in case he is involved with an anxiety attack that he's unable to recover from.
You know what you did, Jerry? You know what you just did?
What?
Well, in so beautifully describing all of that, you have rendered me helpless because your little grandson is seeing a professional. And the professional's advice, whether I would agree with it or whether I wouldn't, is irrelevant because I can't weigh in when he is getting and your family is getting advice from a professional. I can't say,
so
well,
you can't give me a second permission, a second opinion?
No, because it's not a therapeutic relationship. Stay right there, and I'll explain a little further when I get back. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. I'm so delighted you're with me. I really am. I mean, I'm not making it up. This is not just radio fluff. There's a certain 2-inch depth to my personality.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
After President Trump declared U.S. support for the opposition in Venezuela, Pink Floyd's Roger Waters accused him of trying to destroy Venezuela's democracy. But Waters isn't the only one to extol the virtues of a socialist paradise, which is becoming increasingly popular with young people in the West. Why? We talk with Dr. Paul Kengler.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
What are the roots of the Catholic Mass, the source and summit of our life together? Jewish convert and teacher Mark Neugebauer provides us with some answers.
These two Jewish believers, they have this testimony in the choir. I said, what are they about? They have peace, they have joy, they have love. I said, guys, what are you about? They said, Jesus. I said, how could you? How could you believe in that one who is the cause of so much suffering of our people? They said, well, why don't we come over and we'll talk about it? I said, fine, I'm coming to you and I'm going to prove to you he's not the Messiah and you can say whatever you want.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Jewish to Protestant to Catholic, convert Mark Neugebauer opened the door to Christ. He spoke at the Jewish Roots of the Catholic Mass Conference. He shares his story and takes a look at the big picture on our next program. Listen to the first of three conference talks on Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Let me tell you, what a great human being I am. There's aspects about me, accomplishments, achievements. You need to know about these things. Because, well, you won't know about them if I don't tell you.
I'll tell you what, if I just listened to the stuff he cherry picks, I would have to be absolutely convinced this is the biggest jerk you ever have had on any kind of Catholic media. Deep fake, that's what he's doing. Dr. Ray Grady, thanks for joining me here. I am talking to a grandma, a loving grandma from Texas. Grandma, is this little boy's mother your daughter?
No.
Okay.
She's his mom by the first marriage.
Okay. And this little guy is seeing a therapist, or the family is?
Mom, dad, and he had one visit.
Will they have more?
I'm assuming so.
Okay. See, the reason I can't offer thoughts is, one, of course, on this program, I can't do therapy. But when someone is seeing a professional, for me to say, well, here's some things to consider, or here's what I might think in a situation like this, could go against what that professional is saying, and that professional has much more information about the situation than I do, obviously. And whether that professional is competent or not is another story, but they have more information. So I would suggest you ask the professional, well, you're not there, but maybe suggest to the family that how much can they reassure him? How much can they comfort him regarding the situation with his mother, that it doesn't mean she is going to pass away necessarily, or pass away next week? You know, little kids have to have hope. They have to have comfort that what they're thinking is the worst case scenario may not be the worst case scenario. Okay, but other than that, dear lady, I'd love to give you some thoughts, but I am blocked. So
okay, well I appreciate your time and God bless you and your ministry.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you. Bye. Okay, Nancy from Washington. Interestingly enough, I hope Matthew is still listening, because Nancy's grandson has the same physical malfunction, same structural defect. And she says, hey, I know about this. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Ray?
I'm fine, dear. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it, because when I heard that, my husband and I are sitting here with our little grandson, who is now 10 months old. We've had him since he was 5 weeks with Hirschsprung's disease, which we didn't know anything about. We have custody of him. And it's been quite a roller coaster ride. But Matthew really touched our hearts, because we know what he's going through. We know what they're feeling. Colostomy didn't work on our little guy either, and he had a hit, which he had at 9 days old. And then we live here, like I said, in the Seattle area, and we brought him home from Texas, where he was born, and had him taken care of at a wonderful Seattle Children's Hospital. Can't say enough nice things about them. Those people are incredibly knowledgeable, loving, and kind, and incredible. And he is 10 months old now, listening to you right now on the phone. He had his surgery, had everything fixed, like my husband calls it, replumbed, and everything's working just fine. And let me tell you, Juan and I had to thank it up every day. Every time that little guy has a poopy diaper, we say, thank you, Jesus.
Well,
incredible.
I just have one question here. Now, Nancy, this might not be totally related, but you said that right now he's there with you, listening to me, right?
Yes, he is, every morning.
Is that when he poops himself? Just a thought.
You know, usually just before, sometimes just after.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I hope Matthew was still hanging on there and heard.
I hope Matthew's still listening, because there is a lot of hope out there. We've done a lot of research about Hirschsprung's disease, and there's a lot of good things going on there. The most important thing is, have that baby baptized if he wasn't. We had the baby baptized in the hospital, the NICU, at 9 days old, just to make sure. And he came through the surgeries with flying colors. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was baptized and confirmed in the NICU. It was beautiful. And all I can say is tell Matthew just every day we thank God we still have him and give him up. And what do you want to say? Steve, my husband's here too. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Ray. Sure. One thing we notice is, you know, with the little baby always being so active, those colostomy bags don't work. So the nurses actually told us to try the double diapering on him, and it made his life and our life so much easier. And, it's just so much easier to manage the pain on our little grandson at that point, because he wasn't worried about all the infected skin around his colostomy. So that was something you may want to pass on to Matthew.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. You don't have to thank me. They pay me. Not by the word. That's why they don't get very many verbs on this program. Given what they're paying me, they're lucky they're getting verbs. When we come back, I want to get to Bill, I want to get to Gina, and time permitting, Paul.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shields, on the struggles of compromising.
that leads to a failure of growing with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, you really can make decisions that bring clarity. Don't just live with the status quo. Don't just say, well, this is the kind of person I am. These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. It's fine to say that. But so many of us, I think, feel like, well, this is the way I've always been, or this is my personality, or whatever. To excuse ourselves from confronting, am I really following the Lord, or do I have my feet in two different camps, the world and God, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth? Do I have my two feet in one place, or am I straddling? And if I'm straddling, you're always going to compromise. You're always going to try to find a way through that salves your conscience, but in fact, you're trying to serve two masters. And it won't work. So I want to urge you to take a look. Don't just listen to these readings and say, oh, I should think about this sometime. Think about it today.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Inspirational. I mean, you guys say to me, oh, thank you for your show. Come on. It's inspirational to listen to what the folks who call in, the courage, the flowing with life, the faithfulness. That's pretty inspirational. I got to admit it. There's no question about that. Bill from Augusta, Georgia. He has a little son who, when he gets excited, he claps his hands. Real kind of a frenetic sort of slapping them together. Which I would like that little guy to be on the air right now so that when I say things, he could clap for me. Bill's wife thinks that she's worried that this is a sign of autistic spectrum disorder. Bill says, I think that's silly. But thank you. Thank you. He does clap a lot. I admit he does clap a lot. But his wife, Bill's wife, is really nervous about this. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
This little guy, how old is he?
He's just turned five.
Turned five. Is he developmentally normal?
Oh, he's incredibly bright. Reads at a second to third grade level. Is doing crazy math that you wouldn't expect for someone who should be in pre-K but is in kindergarten. Socially, he's never done this in public, but he does it at home when he plays or gets really excited about something. And has no problem talking to adults and has very good manners when he talks to them. So he's he's complimented all the time by every adult he encounters.
If he's that bright, just think how much brighter he'd be had your genetics not watered him down.
That's very true. You got all my wife.
You look at these things in a context, Bill. Yes, that kind of self-repetitive behavior can be one sign of an overall developmental problem. But if it's by itself, or even if it's with just a couple of other things, that doesn't at all mean that this kid has the whole constellation that would imply he's diagnosable. That's the key. His social skills, according to you, are just fine. He's a bright little guy. In every way that you can see, he's a normal little five-year-old. So when he gets excited, he claps like crazy. Okay. When he gets excited, he claps like crazy. It doesn't occur in the context of a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, I can't make that diagnosis from here, but just from what you're telling me, I think you could reassure your wife. Of course, if she's not going to listen to you, why would she listen to me?
Okay. Yeah, he's just He's a great kid. I love him to death.
So there you go. That's just some things to consider there, my friend. God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. I think we need a little more of that, you know? Thank you. Let's see. We have, who's been waiting so patiently? Oh, Gina. Gina from Cleveland has just been hanging on thinking, Dr. Ray, you're never going to talk to me. No, Gina, I did this to you because you are representative of all the girls I knew in college who never returned my calls. So what I decided to do is just keep you on hold to get back at some of those girls. Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Ray?
I'm fine, sweetie.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is concerning my grandson, who's 12.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the case of the missing donuts.
He didn't take them? He didn't take them? Come on.
That's what he says.
You showed him the videotape, and he said that's a stunt kid. I don't recognize that kid. Is this a pattern?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I just know that my daughter left him home alone for just a brief time to pick up her daughter from confirmation class. And when she returned home, she noticed that her kitchen sink had a knife in it, and the donut was missing that was on the counter. So she said, hey, how was the dessert I bought? And he said, I didn't need it. And he kept denying it.
Mm-hmm.
And after asking him several times, my daughter kind of panicked because she was, like, gone most of the day. And her husband travels a lot, so she's home alone a lot. And she started to think, geez, maybe somebody's in my home and they're hiding and they're...
Whoa! Wait a minute. She trusts her kid that much that when he says, I didn't do it, she thinks, oh, boy, we might have had a break-in.
I guess.
That's funny.
Well,
several things. Lying is a problem, generally, if it's a pattern.
Okay.
Two, kids lie. For the number one reason the kids lie is to get out of trouble. Three, he's 12 years old. He absolutely knows she has no way of definitively confirming, as he sees it, this is all circumstantial evidence. Yes, I was the only one home. Yes, when you left, the donut was full. Yes, when you came back, it was gone. But you got no proof. So what I would suggest, in something like this,
okay,
is she ask him only one time, only once. She says, I know that, in fact, you were the only one home. So I know you ate the donut. Now, I'm not all that upset about that, but I'm only going to ask you once. Now, if you tell me the truth, then you just won't get dessert tonight because you already ate it. But if you lie to me, here's what I'm going to do. You're pretty much gone to bed early, and you're going to give me a real nice 300-word essay on why it is important to tell the truth. Now, think carefully here, son, because I'm only going to ask once, and I'm going to take whatever answer you give me. All righty?
Hmm.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
I'll talk to you. Thank you for calling. Okay, Andrew, my computer just went off the air here, and I can't figure out. I'm not Josh Hall or whoever that is. See, I'm sitting here in Al Cresta's studio. Eric's coming to fix this. How do I get me back there, Eric? All right, he knows the password. See, I did not. There we go. It's good to have professionals. Paul from Buffalo, New York. Stations of the Cross, and good Lord permitting, this is in the works. We have talked with Jimmy Wright and all the folks there at Station of the Cross. We hope, we're setting it up now, to head out there in August to film 4 episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show. So that'll be neat. Only got 1 minute. Okay, I better hurry up. Hi, Paul. Quick, I only got 1 minute, as been told by my producer man.
Well, I've been listening for a long time, and I finally thought of a question. What it is I was thinking about how my mom used to say to me, oh, say from the age of 16 to 24, she would always say to me that how come when anybody ever gives you, or how come nobody can ever give you advice or say anything to you without you getting defensive or upset?
And your daughter does the same thing.
Yeah, and I was wondering if I would, if what your thoughts would be.
How old is she?
Just like, she's 35. but it's always been kind of that way.
I think I'd give it up. I think I basically say, well, she clearly doesn't want to hear anything I have to say, so I'm going to stop giving advice because she don't want to hear it. Paul, you call me back. We'll talk some more about this. I'm Dr. Ray. I got to run. Thank you, everybody. Eric, Andrew, and all of you. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.